Hi, it's Icon Art Radio. Alan Cobb, Donna Colby, and me, Bill Teeple. We just had a surprise visitor X in our studio, Richard Beamer. And we got talking about stuff that's just the kind of stuff we love to discuss on the radio. So we're going to play that portion, and then we'll have a little bit of time left for a commentary on whatever we thought just took place.
And I'll just mention that Richard wasn't aware that we were recording, although I think he suspected I might have the machine running. But as a result, he doesn't have a microphone very close to him, so his voice, though I think we can make it very clear, may sound a little bit more distant than ours do. So here's our conversation with Richard.
Was sort of these that little gravel stuff that's kind of grayish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was leaking
LA
and all that. So they called over about five or six of these Latinos with one of those big things that they boiled the tar or whatever it is. And they got these big brushes, you know, a la Klein or something, you know. And they're up on the roof, and I happen to be up there doing something. I'm watching these guys, and they're going, and they're putting all these black, and they stopped at one point to have lunch, and I looked at this roof. It was gorgeous, you know. And I went to them and tried to explain. I said, this is absolutely beautiful art. Well, I mean, I wasn't getting through.
Yeah.
But it was magnificent. You know, if I could have just cut that roof out.
Mm. Yeah.
Not that it hadn't been done before, but it was done with such innocence. It was
And you didn't have your camera with you.
Huh?
You didn't have your camera with you?
No, I didn't.
See, that would I would have loved to see that, you know.
But these big, you know, they use these big, beautiful,
gloppy brushes.
Gloppy brushes that have been used thousands of times, and they make these wonderful lines.
And they're sort of like experts at doing that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
They do it with such panache and such.
Well, and they've gone beyond the stage of having to think about what they're doing.
Right.
So they just reflects whatever is on their mind.
You go beyond thinking.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to tell that story for the radio show? That would be a great story.
It's just a jump off point maybe for some companies. Say, you know, you almost would it be postmodern if you said, all right, I'm going to get these guys. I'm going to ask them to come over. I'm going to put it in the studio. And I'm going to put big canvases down. And I'm going to just say, just do your thing. I'll be back in an hour.
Well, it's more modern. It's more of Yves Klein.
What?
It's more Yves Klein.
Well, it is. But, I mean, that would be him doing it. But I'm suggesting I just get these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make about 20 of these.
Sure.
And give them lunch and say.
Yeah, but you know, it's sort of outsider art. It's that whole outsider art thing where that we appropriate this stuff that these innocent people do, and then we put them in the galleries.
Yeah, but Jose gets his name on it.
Oh, of course he does. And then the next week, he's a Basquiat and he's a superstar.
Yeah,
right.
But
around
with a brush.
That's right.
It's a hairy dilemma because of the fact that there's one moment it's innocent, and the next moment it's jaded.
Yeah,
and that's like, but I'm interested in that line between.
Yeah, well, of course. Where the artist is actually playing that game, knowing that they are doing and not, you know.
Because the art of, we do the same thing. We'll be like, you're innocently making your thing out there. We could make you stilted and
no
we
innocence.
Could frame it and we could ruin it in a moment, you know. That's why we're cautious about showing.
The real reason that painting for me is so
cathartic.
I don't want to say difficult, but unlike video or something that just seems to kind of slide off, always kind of easy for me, painting always brings up this thing about, you know, there's a spontaneous moment, and it's like, whoa, wow. And then the mind comes
This
in.
Is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, exactly. This is the game that's being played constantly. Then you say, let's see, if I put some more red here to balance off, well, maybe a one, and then it's dead.
But D.T. Suzuki's book, The Zen and Japanese Culture.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's two chapters in there about swordsmanship, and this takes what we're talking about to the level of life and death.
Right.
It's very interesting. Because if your mind stops, at any point and starts to reflect on what's going on, you're dead.
Yeah.
Yes, well, in that world, of course, you're dead.
But it's the same in painting.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely. It's the same with meditation. Mm-hmm. You have that moment, and then you try to recreate it, and then it isn't working, and then it's...
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But
a Zen teacher said, referred to that second level as trying to ride a horse on top of another horse.
Yes.
Yes,
exactly.
That's very good.
You can't do it.
But the more I find that you spend day after day after day doing it, I'll say the more brave you get.
Yeah.
In the ability and the joy of letting it destroy, that there, you know, let it destroy itself.
Yeah.
Go for the next thing. Keep going and not get stuck in that.
What we're after is that zone, that place.
Well, yeah, that's the fun of the process.
But in working through it, we get more familiar with going off of center.
Yes, and then finding the accident and playing with all these possibilities.
And the same is true with my whole life.
Well,
I've been trying to get
a life. But this narrows it down to a place to play with it.
In a very specific way where the feedback is just...
Right in your face.
Yeah, that's
and one
it.
Day you can.
Are you recording this?
And it totally has you immersed and joyous.
Yeah.
And you can come back to that same thing and continue the next day, and it just takes a nosedive, and you want to throw it out the window.
Well, that's because you're trying to continue.
You're trying to continue.
Yeah. Well, and again, that life itself is
like that.
We're in a great mood one day, we feel totally enlightened and in love with everybody. And the next day we wake up and we're all grumpy, and it's like, what happened? What's wrong with me? You know,
but that is the joy, and that's the place that's the fun place to play for me with painting.
Yeah.
Because of what it puts me through.
Writing
doesn't that to me. I can write, and I can destroy something the next. Of course, you can always take the words. You're always there. You know, you can make a copy of it and play with it. But painting. Wow, it just brings that out in me.
I do it with sound, and I can rework it, but I don't approach it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, I've got infinite editing space, you know, to mess with it. But it's the things that happen spontaneously that have the value. And so I just, what I do is, instead of recording separate tracks, half the time I just overdub, and if it comes out better, it's better.
Right.
If it ruins it, then I start another thing.
Well, that's the way you've chosen to play the game.
Yeah. It's like painting.
Yeah.
Hey,
but it's a little different, because in painting, you do, in the back of your mind, it's like someone who doesn't take any money to India, but, you know, about $500, but they do carry their credit card.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could, but in painting, Once you take that red and you put a whole thing over it.
No, actually, you can't. If you're overdubbing it...
Well, no, I understand, but you could back off. You could just hit one button and say, coffee.
Before I
let it distract. Yeah. I mean,
well,
the process...
But
you can't do that in painting.
It's true.
You know, there's no way to back it up.
If we want to get three shows done before you have to go to lunch.
There's no way to back it up with this one. With this either.
Always a joy.
Yes, it's good to see you.
Good.
It was good to talk to you the other day, and now you've appeared in front of my face. This is so
nice. Yeah, this was a
and now you really
I'm so
should
glad
do a radio show, because that conversation by itself, we should have been
if
recording.
I know this man, he has recorded it.
And I just have to ask you, do you mind if we use it?
No.
Thank you.
Because I knew you were recording it.
Were you recording it?
Of course.
Oh.
Oh, God.
But
I haven't said I'm going to record. I've got to record this. Ran over and turned it off.
But the thing is, see, what we're talking about, I think that is the ultimate content of what it's all about in making art. Get to that point.
And then you get to another little shift as your growth, which is you find something that you really kind of got. And then you keep repeating it. And then you just stay in the same zone.
I completely agree with you. When I teach art, I don't care about the 85% that's not working.
Yeah.
I will circle the part that is working. And I say, take that and do it again.
Yeah.
And then the next one, maybe there's 12.5%, 15% working. We circle that and we take it. You just hone in on that thing.
And those masters, I think, are those people like that wonderful film on Picasso, where he takes something and he has something. And he destroys that.
He destroys it again.
Yeah,
so
and every one of them you say, stop, Pablo, stop.
Let's clone that.
Copy on paper again. But he just doesn't care. You know, all of a sudden the horse becomes a whole stadium in clouds.
Yeah.
He's such a good example of this thing.
Yeah.
That's why he was such a master.
Yeah. But he had that down. He was just unbelievable at that. But
what you just described is archetype. I mean, you described art, the process of making art. It's what's addictive about art.
Yeah.
It's why it's worth doing.
Yeah.
It's where the joy is. It's what the muse is here.
But it'll really grind you up.
Oh, sure.
Well, we grind up. You know, there's a space that I'm just beginning to touch, and I was talking to Charlotte Kane about this, which is because I was asking her if she knows about these levels that you go through, which is before in my painting, because I've been drawing since I was a kid and all that, but the painting, if you're into a painting and it does fall apart on you and just turning to caca, the tendency is for me, and I suppose a lot of that, say and you walk away from it, and after a while, if you do it every day, I found you start learning, I don't want to call them tricks, but you understand that when it's falling apart, it's okay, and you have ways of rejuvenating, of resurrecting it, and it becomes even something more.
Yeah,
and
right.
That stage is really exciting because you feel like you're more in, you're in control of being out of control.
Right.
It's a little game.
Right.
It's a wonderful place to be.
That's the magic point.
Yeah.
And it's the mystery point. Wherein you've got this, there's all this experience of controlling this stuff,
right.
And yet you're in a free fall,
right.
And you've got to then deal with that situation. It's like
a
complete, you're in the paradox, you're performing the paradox, and you're alive in that moment. That's why the painter at that moment is fully alive.
It's a wonderful spot.
And painting is such a good context for this, as opposed to some of the other art forms.
Yes.
It's in all art. It's in living every moment.
Yeah.
But painting with the brush is really...
Even sculpture. I mean, you can keep looking at it and going back and... But once you paint, that red is now green. And
yeah. Well, that's why I make the choice not to save and rename.
It's the choice I make in my filmmaking, which is I'm not going to tell people what to do. I'm not going to say, get in a better light.
Yeah.
Please stand over here. Just learn to take it as it's come. And that with the Maharishi film in the middle of that crowd over there, I was dealing with like thousands of people around me trying to film something, and they're banging and they're crashing on me. And I mean, that parade, that procession from where the litter was being taken down, you didn't even have to walk. It was taking you along.
Wow.
I was not too far from the act. I mean, I got right in there. But you would walk along. If you looked down, you would see sandals. Because if they came off, you couldn't even reach down to pick them up, or you would be,
trampled.
So you'd look back after they'd gone past, and all these sandals. I never even thought about it.
Did you film the sandals?
No, because I was still...
Oh, you were still up
there.
Yeah.
But to be continued, thank you for letting me barge in.
Oh,
adios.
That was great.
Thank you for barging in. Bring your barge every time.
Okay.
Well, that was wonderful. That was a pleasure I hadn't anticipated. And I guess that's also our Icon Art Radio's first reality show. I think Richard was really summing up the role of art in the life of the artist. You know, it's why we do this.
And he's applied it all his life. But he was, for some reason, the painting that he's gotten into recently has... become an arena that really has brought this moment that we push and pull with in the creative process right in front of your face, and that's why I love painting so much, and that's why I like to keep the idea of easel painting, the whole practice of easel, we call it easel painting, but it could be any size painting, but you know, the actual brush in the hand with globs of paint and liquid paint applied to a surface, it's a very beautiful activity in life, and I like to keep that alive, and I like to show real honest painting in our gallery, because everything has become so digital, so photographic, so video. It's almost an anachronism, but it is. There's something about it that we've all felt that's ever done, and I know you guys have.
Well, and there's something about seeing original paintings too that you don't get from any reproductions, because that very act of taking the brush and making a brush stroke, the vitality is in that stroke, and when you are standing in front of the canvas looking at the strokes that artist made, they're breathing, they're speaking, right, they're vibrating, and as beautiful as the composition and colors and design might be that you catch when you see a picture in a book, that kind of more vital communication mainly comes out when you're standing in front of the brush strokes.
Well, brushwork is the one thing that just does not come across in a reproduction. Mm-hmm. I, when I was young and mostly looked at books and was learning about art and images, I thought this homogeneous sort of like surface was true to the real thing. And so a lot of, and if you don't go and look at real paintings and you're a student of art, you try to recreate this machine-like homogeneous look of surfaces. And yet it's the, first of all, the vitality and the rhythm that's created in the painting with the brushwork is missed. But also the moment of the act of painting that is there, and you get it when you're in front of a painting, especially the more abstract paintings. I mean, that period of abstract expressionism that we called action painting really was very obvious that there was a performance that took place with a brush, and it's contained there, and that moment is very much like held in the work, and you feel it.
Now that, actually, I was going to, before Richard came in, I had this little quote from Kandinsky that I was going to use as a kicking off point, and it fits exactly perfectly with what you just said.
So we'll finish off with it then instead.
What's that?
We'll finish off with it then.
Yes. So it was when he was describing the coming of this wave of very lively abstract art, which he called romanticism. He called it a new romantic period that he said was deep, beautiful, meaningful, and joyful. And he said, it is a piece of ice with a flame burning in it. If people only sense the ice and not the flame, then it's all the worse for them.
Cool.
And that's exactly what you meant. You know, with abstract art, people can see it as just geometry or whatever, but it's that vitality that's in that, the passion that's in the strokes that the artist is making, and the emotion behind it that is... makes it real art and not just
and
sign.
The early modernists were attempting to frame that, the soul, the fire within, life itself, a spiritual experience that's inner and outer, and the inner is the flame, and they want to create a work of art that has that living flame transmitted. But art went through a period when modernism kind of became the art of the academy, and everybody sort of like now was into it and understood it, and that it came back up to the surface, and it tended to be more of a materialistic modernism, formalism, where we were more sort of like, it was almost decorative in the way that we were moving shapes against each other, how they related together and moved in space. And the emphasis went off of this flame within. And I think there's a revival now. Well, the abstract expressionists really tapped back into that. Mm-hmm. And then we've gone to this postmodern period where we've gotten to make art that's relevant again, which means has to do with issues of the surface of life.
Yeah.
So the flame got a little bit smoked, shadowed with that. I think that we're on the verge of like finding out, remembering what art's all about again, which is that giving expression to that flame within.
Mm-hmm. I saw a special on Van Gogh a few months ago, and I'm always on the lookout for art shows that are in high definition because it makes such a huge difference to be able to actually see the image. And this was the first set of videos, videotaped paintings that I've of Van Gogh in particular that I've ever seen that were they were almost hyper real images. They had intentionally side lit the, or you know, they had a key light over the painting that was highlighting the brush strokes. And if you saw it on a non-HD screen, it would just look, you know, very much in focus, and it would have probably a distracting reflections all over it. And on a few of the paintings, the highlighting was too intense, and it did mess up the painting. You couldn't really see the colors. But on most of them, what you saw was the painting and the brush strokes, and you could choose whether to just look at the painting as a whole or whether to see how he did it. And when they showed a detail, it looked 3D. And again, only with high resolution, you know, video can you even begin to reveal the subtlety, because it's not that 3D. But it made a tremendous difference in the way those paintings worked. You saw them as acts. You saw that some person did those things. They didn't do the painting. They did all those individual movements, and they could stand alone almost as a manifestation of the creative process. That was a call from.
This is really a unusual day.
This is reality radio.
Welcome to reality radio.
Impinging upon us.
Well, and Richard brought up that point when he was talking about how you're working on a painting and at a certain point you just feel like you've blown it. Mm-hmm. Really, you know, it's not salvageable at all, and you can just toss the painting and start over again. However, if you get in there and kind of get underneath whatever you thought happened to ruin it, sometimes something marvelous can arise out of those ashes. And so...
Well, and he was asking Charlotte about this cycle and stuff, because he's learning about this cycle that you go through in this familiar territory of performance of art, and there's just a way that it goes. There's the early stages where everything is going, it's just free, and you're not attached, and then you sort of tighten up and get attached, and then it starts going badly, and then you have to like surrender and give way, and that's when usually at this moment, that's this moment where you feel like it's ruined. Mm. But then that's the moment when you give up and you surrender, and then you can take that thing and turn it back into something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he brought that up, my first thought was he was going to say, you see it going bad, but you don't mind throwing it away and starting all over again, because that's sort of the breakthrough that's happened most recently with me, is that I'll start a piece and it'll get better and better. And because I've made this commitment to overdubbing instead of doing multi-tracks where you can keep re-editing it and rebalancing it in a million different ways and undo anything that you've done, I know that if I add one more track and I blow it, or one more layer and I blow it, that it's blown and it's not coming back. And that changes my relationship with the work. So when I add a layer and it blows it, with sound, I don't know, I suppose there's some analogy to painting, because in painting you could, like Picasso was doing in that film, you can take white paint and just obliterate huge sections of it and literally start over. Whereas with the audio, you really don't have that option. You can only obliterate it by adding more sound. which just makes it noisier and louder.
Which is more of a comparison to watercolor.
Yeah, it's more like watercolor. That's right.
So. Well, and also it just depends on the person's creative process, too. Matisse, for example, was more likely to do 100 versions of something before he got it
right.
The way that he felt expressed what he was feeling inside. Picasso was more likely to keep painting over the same work and changing it like that. So, you know, I think it's just any, and for an individual artist, probably at certain times, you just have to start over, and at other times, the process becomes deeper.
Oh, well, it becomes obvious to you soon enough that whether you've saved it or not.
Yes, and the thing is, you can, you know, when you realize that it was really quite good a few layers back, mm-hmm. and now it is completely trashed. You know, if you experience that with a sense of loss, that's, you know, one thing that we all go through, I think. But what's exciting for me is that when that happens, increasingly, I'm fine. I think, okay, well, then what I was doing was more Matisse-like. I thought I was doing a finished work. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I was just practicing. So now I'll just do it again or do something. Of course, it's never it again, but...
But see,
being able to let go of it is very, you know,
and that would always drive me crazy when I was younger and wanting to have more control over everything.
Yeah.
There was some sense, oh, darn. Mm. There was this one moment I got it right, and it's gone. But since then, I've been much more interested in process. That is, what is the place I can get into where that's sustained?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That it will come back, because I think... There's this thing of, you know, you had some good ideas or you said some neat things at one point, and now it doesn't seem like it's coming, so you feel all bad about that. Mm-hmm. But you, my quest is to actually relax into the place where I can allow, where it just seems to come again and again, that peak moment when everything sort of flows. And that doesn't happen by tightening up and worrying about how it's lost.
No.
It only comes by learning how to relax in the moment and let it come.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.